All right. So yeah, we did wind up postponing our yard sale, just so you know. So that's going to be coming up a little bit later on, so you have more time to dig for treasure. Amen? Okay. And also, we do have the car wash-a-thon going on. It's at the Chicken Coop coming up. Check your bulletin for details. Bring your car, or don't, because I know I pledged per car. This is honestly going to be a great opportunity both to reach our community with some really positive kids and then also help support our kids as they are doing their stuff this summer. So please make sure to do that. Alrighty? Sound good? Awesome. We're going to have our ushers come forward. We're going to pray for our offering, our time in the Word. You can probably guess I'm not preaching today. We have one of our esteemed missionaries in town, and so we're going to let him bring the Word today. I'll introduce him in just a moment, but let me pray for our offering and our time in the Word. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all of the ways that you have lavished your love upon us. And Father, as we return to you a small portion of what you have given us, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it was given. Lord, we ask that you take this offering and use it to advance your kingdom, both here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we ask that our hearts be illuminated by your Holy Spirit. We ask that we be transformed from who we are today into a better reflection of you tomorrow. So, Lord, we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to invite Ralph Shepherd to come on up. Ralph and his wife Ellen and also Paul and Jan Vandermeer, they are some of our missionaries in Guadalajara, Mexico. So Ralph is going to be bringing the word today. Normally, I do this at the end, but at the end of the message, I need to sneak out and get ready for some baptisms. So I'm going to tell you this now. One of the things that we do as a church is we support missionaries, but I want to encourage you guys, if there's any room in addition to what you give to us, if there's any room for you guys to give an extra monthly amount to the Shepherds or the Vandermeers and their work in Mexico, I want to encourage you to consider that. I encourage you guys, when you're considering how do you give financially to things as a Christian, I would encourage you, don't give to need. Everybody has a need. Amen? Some people need million-dollar planes. Some people need... Everybody has a need. I would suggest give to fruit. Where God is producing fruit, give money there. And what's so exciting to me is to hear from Ralph and Ellen that the fruit that is being produced, that has been produced in their ministry in Peru, that is being produced in their ministry in Guadalajara. And so I want to encourage you guys, if there's any way you could support them financially on a monthly basis, to please consider doing that. So, and honestly, talk to them afterwards, because you guys have some information out back in the lobby area. And so I'm going to pray for you, and then would you bring the word to us today? All right, Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for Ralph and Ellen and Paul and Jan and the rest of their team. We thank you for the ways that you have called them and equipped them for ministry. And Father, again, we just pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in Guadalajara. Father, we ask that your word would go forth. We pray for revival. We pray for a great awakening to take place in the center part of Mexico, Father. May lives just be transformed in an amazing and powerful way so that you receive the glory for the work that you've done. Use Ralph, use Ellen, use the rest of their team in any way to accomplish that goal. And Father, now just as as your Holy Spirit is indwelling him, just bring the message that you would have him to give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Good morning. I have a lot of memories in this church. I remember almost 50 years ago, a little over actually 50 years ago, my dad and mom brought us in. There were seven of us children, and we walked in the door of this church for the first time. And it was kind of scary, and I had no idea what we were getting into, but this has been a wonderful, wonderful place for us. I remember another memory. My sister Jan got married here to Paul, and I was one of the people that they asked to stand up in the wedding. And during the wedding, I tipped over backwards. I fainted and fell flat on my back. And on the tape, you can hear my head bounce. So since then, I have not been the same. And my parents were delighted. No. Yeah, people used to say, what are you going to be when you grow up? I said, I don't know. I'll figure that out when I grow up. And I never grew up, so I never figured out what to do. But one of the things that I remember very clearly is that missionaries would come to the doors of this church. And it was very, very interesting, the things that they would share. And I remember, you know, people would share about eating bugs off of trees. That did not appeal to me. Or drinking goat's blood, you know, over in Africa, one of those exotic places. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up, but I am not going to be a missionary. Well, guess what? God has the last word. And here I am. And fortunately, he did not send me to any places where I'd eat bugs off of trees or drink goat's blood. He sent us to Lima, Peru, a city of 6 million, and now to Guadalajara, a city of 6 million, and they don't drink goat's blood or eat bugs. But anyway, this church has invested in me personally, spiritually. When I was here, we had great Bible teachers. In the summer, they would have Bible school. Uncle Bob Shannon would come through, and we would have these contests about how many Bible verses we could memorize, and they'd punch our little ticket. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. You know, they punch your ticket, every verse you memorize, you know, that you can quote. And this church taught me the Word of God. And I did not realize at the time what a blessing that was on my life. And so back in the middle of the 80s, when we were going to go out as missionaries and we visited the church began to support us. You supported us for those 20 years that we were in Peru, and now we've been in Guadalajara 11 years. And we're here to share with you this morning. Particularly, I want to share with you about how to do spiritual investment. This church has been spiritually investing in Ellen and me and our family. We have 5 children. When we had 3, they said, wow, you got 3 children. And we had 4 children. They said, don't you have a television? That was the joke in Peru. Don't you have a television? And we had 5 children. And what a blessing that's been. But you guys have been investing in us and our family in this ministry for all these years. And I want to tell you what we've been doing to invest what you have invested in us. So I thought about this term, this idea of spiritual investment. What is an investment? And here's what it says technically. Investment is to spend with a higher purpose and expectation of a long-term increase and benefit from when you started. So you have been investing in us spiritually, financially, your prayers and your giving for all these years. And so this is what Ellen and I have been doing with the investment that you've been brought up with us, invested in us. One of the first things we did was we said, we need to share the gospel. We need to share the gospel. Do you remember the parable of the sower? And I invite you this morning to look with me at the parable of the sower in Matthew. And this is going to be a jump off point. Matthew 25. Actually, make that Matthew 13. All right? So Jesus, he tells him a story. Jesus was a great storyteller. I like storytellers. My mother always read stories to us when I was a kid. I like storytellers. And here's Jesus telling a story. And he tells a story about this farmer that goes out and sowing his seed. And as he sows the seed's falling all over the place. You know, he's just going like this. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And the seeds are going all over the place. And it lands in this really hard soil. And it lands in this really rocky soil, it lands in this thorny soil, and it lands on the good soil. And what I want to focus on this morning is that fourth soil, the good soil. What happens when the seed lands on the good soil? And what is that soil? Look at verse 8. Other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. How much crop did it produce, according to your Bible? What does it say? How much? How much crop did it produce? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Psalm? I meant Matthew. Okay. Oh, I say some. Okay. Okay. Produce 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, isn't it? So 100-fold, some, 60-fold. Doesn't say that any didn't produce. If good seed lands on good soil, there's always a good crop. And one of the things that we do is we're always looking for a chance to share the gospel. In the book of Romans, it says the gospel is a message that's like dynamite. It blows up people's lives. And I know some people that really need their lives blown up. My life needed some blowing up. When I was young, it really needed some blowing up. And the gospel is a good way to invest spiritually. So I was sharing with this guy in Lima named Ugo. And I shared with him the gospel, and he says, you know, I just don't think that just doesn't seem right to me. He says, I think everybody should pay their own way. I says, it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. He says, no. He says, I think everybody should produce their own way. That was not good soil. Fran heard the gospel, and he responded to the gospel. And Fran is having conversations with other people all the time. And we're going to see some fruit come from Fran's life. So we share the gospel at every turn that we have. There's a fellow that I play soccer with, Marco. When I met Marco, he was an atheist. And he said, you know, Rafael, he says, you know, I'm sorry I don't believe like you, but, you know, I just don't believe in God. So we've had lots of conversations, and now he's not an atheist. He's a theist. I've shared the gospel with him. He now believes in God, but he doesn't believe the gospel. And you're going to have people like that. But we're looking to share the gospel. I've shared the gospel with Marco several times. I've heard statistics. They said for someone to respond to the gospel, on average, they need to hear the gospel like 6 or 7 times. That means some people respond to the gospel after 3 times. Some people respond to the gospel after 12 times. I had to hear the gospel a number of times from my own mother before I responded. But sharing the gospel with people is something we do all the time in Mexico, that we did all the time in Lima. And there are people who responded, and some were 30-fold, some were 60-fold, some were 100%. I was sharing during the Sunday school hour that one of the couples that Ellen and I invested in was Julio and Doris. And Julio and Doris work with couples. We worked with them 13 months to get one couples group started. 13 months. We met week after week after week for 13 months. And we had no couples group at the end of 12 and a half months. At the end of 13 months, we got our first couples group started. Julio wrote me recently, and he says, Rafael, he says, we now have 23 couples groups in the church. 150 couples come every week to one of our couples groups. Julio and Doris were a good investment. That was a good investment. And we shared the gospel, and we shared the gospel, and we share the gospel all the time, because the gospel can blow up people's lives. And so we're praying for God to allow us to share the gospel. Now, when you share the gospel with somebody, you don't know what kind of soil they are. I knew Marco was an atheist, but I didn't know if he was good soil or bad soil. I didn't know about Fran. Do you know some people that you need to share the gospel with? And share it again. Do you know how to share the gospel? That's a great thing that we do all the time. We share the gospel. The gospel produces. God's word never returns to him void. Never. That's what God's word says. So the more that we can share the gospel with people, the better off. I'm curious how many times you needed to hear the gospel before you responded. You don't need to tell me out loud, but think about it. How many times did you hear the gospel before you responded? Or maybe you never have. Maybe you haven't hit that time yet where you've responded to the gospel. That's a great thing that God has allowed us to do. Reading and memorizing God's word is another thing we do as a spiritual investment. Ministry is a result of overflow. When you go to McDonald's, you take your they take your cup and they put it under that fountain and they push the button. And all this stuff comes in and comes in, pours in. Or now you can do it yourself, right? Spiritual life is a result of overflow. Ministry is a result of overflow. And so one of the things that we're doing all the time is we're reading and memorizing God's word. Ellen and I, about 10 years ago, we decided we needed to read God's word and memorize God's word more. So we made a habit over the last 10 years to memorize 100 verses. And we'll pick a passage. It might be 7 or 8 verses long, maybe 10, 12 verses long. And we memorize it. We'll memorize 2 verses 1 week, the next week 3 weeks, and we keep saying them back and forth to each other till we can say the whole passage together. And over the year, we memorize 100 verses. Now, why would we do that? Because the more God's word comes into our life, the more things come out. And here's an interesting verse that I love in Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Going back to Uncle Bob Shannon, we memorized all those verses. Now as adults, we're memorizing verses. And I encourage you to memorize God's word. Verses that you want to have that can just flow out of your mouth. And I'm finding myself, Ellen and I find ourselves all the time sharing in these conversations, and something will come right out in that conversation because we've been memorizing God's word. And people need God's word today. We live in a culture today that is full of deception. Have you realized that we live in a culture that lies and lies and lies? And there's deception. And God's word is truth. So the more that we memorize God's word, the more it is affirming our faith. Ellen and I need to affirm our faith because our job is in our work is to affirm and develop the faith of others. But many times we aren't full of God's word and we can't share what we don't got. So we memorize God's word. So this church has taught me the importance of God's word. And we're sharing God's word, we're memorizing God's word all the time. A third thing that we do that's a spiritual investment is discipleship. The last time I was here, I asked for a volunteer, and he came up on the platform. I don't know, he's not here this morning. And he walked across the platform, and I got behind him, and I step by step did everything he did. And he didn't know what I was doing, but everybody was kind of chuckling. And discipleship is teaching people to follow Jesus and to do what Jesus did. And so in our church in Guadalajara, in our house churches, we teach people to spiritually help other people. We say, we want you to have somebody that you're spiritually helping. Well, how do you spiritually help somebody? You pray for them. You visit them. You call them. You ask how they're doing. You listen to them. You ask questions. You give them feedback. You give them God's word. Years ago, I was in a fourth grade Sunday school class here at the church. And Frank Clark was my teacher. And he said, who knows? One of these days, one of you might be a missionary. There was a group of eight boys in that class. We looked around and thought, must be him. You know, could be him. It was me. Frank planted a seed that God used to light a fire in my heart. Years later, I'm teaching people God's word. And I have to say, do what I do. Say what I say. See what I see. That's discipleship, helping people to become more like Jesus. Who do you have that God's put on your heart? Is there somebody that God's put on your heart? It might be your child. It might be a neighbor. It might be a high school friend. Who do you have that God has put on your heart? Do you have somebody? I mean, I'm just curious. You don't need to tell me names, but how many of you feel like there's somebody that God just kind of has put on your heart? That's really cool. There's a specific thing that God does. He puts people on our hearts. And he wants us to pray for them. He wants us to spiritually help them. My mother was my first discipler. My first discipler. And she shared with me the gospel. Turns out my mother was very concerned about me. She told me later on in life, I'm glad it was later on in life, she says, you were really difficult. For a while I thought I was raising the Antichrist. That's what she said. Isn't it great when mothers see your potential? But no, she was concerned about me. She loved me. She prayed for me. She shared God's word with me. When my mother prayed, I'd open my eyes because the way she prayed, I knew God was close. There's no way she could pray like that without. And I remember her prayers for me, her prayers out loud. She was spiritually helping me. I had Sunday school teachers that were helping me, but I also had people who in spiritual. Cliff Hamill was my youth director. And now and then he would invite one of us out one-on-one. I do a lot of one-on-one stuff in Guadalajara. Where do you suppose I learned that from? Cliff Hamill. Think about those people that God's put on your heart. And God won't let you let go of that person. Our daughter right now is far from the Lord, one of our daughters. She's really far from the Lord. She's right now out in the gay world. Most recently, she told us she self-identifies as a man. To be honest, it breaks our heart. We're not letting her go. God gave her to us. And in our prayers, we are not letting her go. We are not letting the enemy have her. We can't make her decisions. But we can make the decision to not let go of her. And God has put people on our hearts. God has put on my heart my soccer buddy, Marco. And those are the kind of people we need to be spiritually helping, praying for God to give us opportunity so that what we are memorizing from God's word, it can come out into their lives. It can overflow into their lives. And so that is a fourth area that I'm mentioning is intercession. And there's times when I specifically sit down and set aside time for prayer. There's times when I'm going down the road and I'm praying, and I'm driving and I'm praying. There's times when I'm walking and praying, and there's times when I just sit down and just pray. And that's a spiritual investment that we do. And I encourage you to set aside time. I'd almost like to ask this out loud. I almost want you to raise your hand, but over the last 7 days, have you specifically sat down just to spend time in prayer? Just to pray for others. I want to encourage you to do something that Ellen and I do. Take your watch for 15 minutes. Dedicate yourself just to pray. Just to pray. It's a great spiritual investment. Got your little guy there. That's so cool. I love to see that. My dad invested in me. My dad taught me how to throw a football. He says, you put your fingers on the seams, you know, and it's not right in the middle of the football. It's here where it starts narrowing down. And when you throw, let it roll off your fingers. So, okay, that's discipleship and for football. But my dad discipled me in other ways. I'd get up in the morning. My job was to set the breakfast table. And where was my dad? He was in the living room with his Bible. My dad was discipling me. He didn't say any words to me. He didn't acknowledge my presence. My dad was setting an example. What is it that you want your children to see you do? Day after day after day. Discipleship. Set the example. When you pray, what do you want them to hear? I can tell you things that my dad prayed many, many times over. He always used thee and thou. Only in his prayers. But I can still hear my dad saying, Father, we want to joy and rejoice in what you've done for us. Okay? I had to think about that a long time. What does that even mean? But I've heard those prayers. What do you want your children to hear you pray? We have to teach our people in Guadalajara how to pray, because they've learned how to pray with beads. But to just pray to God out loud without anything, that's something that they need to learn to do. So, discipleship. So, we're sharing the gospel. We're reading and memorizing God's word. We're discipling people. We're intercession. Building significant relationships. My friends, relationships require time. Build relationships with non-Christians. Maybe that's easy. Maybe you work with them. But we're building relationships with people all the time. Pastor Matt used the word intentionality. We are very intentional. I have a friend down in Lima, in Guadalajara, Luis. He says, Rafael is socially intentional. What's socially intentional? He sees me doing things relationally on purpose. I'm doing things. My nature is to be alone. And God said, no. You're going to go out the door and you're going to be with people. So there's times when I intentionally go out the door to be with people, to build relationships. Relationships require time. It's spiritual investment. And we build community. When we're together, we're thinking about how to create not this. This is everybody comes to the same place at the same time and does the same thing. We say, we want to create this. This is community. What's the difference between this and this? What would you say? What would you say? What's the difference? Okay, separated versus together. Okay, what else? Connection, yes, connection. It's connecting lives. Yep, what else? Intertwined, yes. People are getting to know you. You know what? There's some things I don't want people to know about me. This is very, very safe on the surface. This is dangerous. This is dangerous, people. Not having people know me is dangerous. Who's going to speak truth into my life if they're not connected with me? This requires time. This requires vulnerability. This requires honesty. This requires humility. This requires receiving the truth from somebody else. That's a spiritual investment. That's a spiritual investment. Building community. So I ask you, who do you have community with during the week? Building community. Spiritual investment. Very, very important. If you don't have somebody who knows you well besides your spouse, I encourage you to find somebody, to pray for somebody. Somebody that knows you that can speak truth into your life. I have people tell me things that I didn't know about myself, and I wouldn't know if I didn't let them get close enough to tell me. Spiritual investment, sharing the gospel, reading and memorizing God's word, investing spiritually in other people, discipleship, intercession, building significant friendships and relationships, developing community. I want to read one more verse. This sounds like a missionary asking for support, and it's not, because we already received support from you. But 2 Corinthians 9:12. I just want to read this passage to you. Paul's talking about sowing generously, and he's talking about giving. He's talking about financial giving, really. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will increase, enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now this is what the verse that I want to focus on, verse 12, 2 Corinthians 9:12. It's a says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You as a church, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, and people here have supported us for 33 years. In Peru, now in Guadalajara. You have been supplying for Ellen and I daily. We eat meals, and we thank God for you. Believe me, we think about you people. We thank God for you because you have met our physical and practical needs as well as the ministry. It's not only supplied the needs of God's people, it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. There are many people coming to Christ through your giving, creating enormous piles of thanks to God. The church in Lima that I told you this morning, well, I think I said during the Sunday school hour, they're having five services today, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, because they have a sanctuary, well, maybe 250, 300 people can get in there. There's 1,000 people that are going to that church today. And they says, you tell your churches back in the States, thank you. Thank you. And they're praising God for you, people that they have yet to meet. In heaven, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, you're part of one of those churches that supported Ralph and Ellen. Because of that, we came to Christ. And you say, us? Yes. You guys. I'm looking forward to that. How many people here speak Spanish? Ah, look at the Spanish corner over here. Yeah. All right. All right. They're going to have to learn English to tell you the thank you. No. This is a wonderful thing, people. God is using you. We have a tremendous house church network going in Guadalajara. It's number one. It's Guadalajara number one. We're praying for Guadalajara two and three, new house church networks. But we have one, and this week there will be probably 12 to 15 different groups meeting during the week that are part of Guad One, part of that first house church network. And they're reading God's word, and they're praying together, and they're connecting together, and they're sharing together as part of spiritual investment, because of the spiritual investment you've made in us. This morning there's going to be a baptism, and people are going to physically say, I'm giving my life to follow Christ. What a great spiritual investment. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I encourage you to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. My friends, thank you for investing in us. We'll continue to invest in these different ways in people in Mexico, and God is blessing. And there is fruit. Right now, maybe it's 2, 3. Down the road, it could be 30, 60, 100. But thank you for continuing to support us, and we will continue to report back to you as God blesses. And I want to pray this morning. I want to pray on behalf of this church that has been such a blessing to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father God, you invested your Son in us. You invested his life in us. You invested his death in us. Jesus, thank you for investing in us day after day, being our intercessor, our holy advocate, our holy God-present lawyer, appealing to God on our behalf. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for investing in us to produce holiness in us, righteousness in us. Thank you for your word, Father, that is a great investment in us. And Lord, as you invest in us, we want to be like that good seed and that good soil, producing a harvest of righteousness. I pray for this church. Collectively, I pray for the people here this morning, the people who are a part of this body, Father, that they would be good investment, that good soil and good seed would come together continually for a good crop. I pray that you would bring new people into the kingdom. Father, add people to the family of God. through this body of believers, through this community of believers. Father, may their giving overflow in thanksgiving to God. Thank you for the life of Del Lee. Thank you for these five who are now going to communicate their commitment to Christ. Thank you for blessing me through this church, blessing us, Lord. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God is good. Amen. It's always encouraging to hear what God is doing somewhere else. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to let them get a chance to get in the water. This song, we've only sang it a couple times, but it says, I met the forgiver, and now the sinner will never be the same. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Come all you weary, come all you saints, come to the fountain, to the edge of the bay. The water is stirring, the tides are now turning. Come jump in the river of grace. The Spirit is searching. It's time for returning. Come jump in the river of grace. No, I am not who I once was. My whole life. Sinner.
glad that he's come for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I met the forgiver, and now the sinner will never be the same. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful this morning that you are the forgiver. Lord, if there's someone at the sound of my voice that doesn't know you this morning, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Just touch their hearts and let them know that they can know this Jesus too. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a forgiver and that will never be the same. Amen.
Well, good morning. Normally I make a joke about how if there were jets in here, I'd be in here every Sunday, but our heater broke. This is invigorating. And that's all right, I'm okay with that, because this is important stuff that we're doing. What I would like to do very briefly is this. You heard Ralph talk about the gospel, and when we gather here, when we fill the tank and when we have people come forward, we're going to ask a couple of questions. But ultimately, those questions are asking this: do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? When someone's baptized, there's nothing magical about this water. It's just good old Lake Michigan water that we pipe in, and it's just a symbol, much like a wedding ring. If I take my wedding ring off, I'm still very much a married man, but the wedding ring is a symbol to the world who I belong to. Very cute redhead. That's all I'm saying. When we gather in the tank, when we go under the water, it's our way of saying that I am dying to my old life before Jesus. And as I'm coming out of the water, it's a way of symbolizing that I have new life in Jesus Christ. My friends, that's the hope that we have. And very briefly, I just want to share with you what this whole gospel message is. And here it is very briefly. Number one, God in heaven loves you so very much. I can't even begin to put into words the depth of love that your Father in heaven has for you. He made this entire world just so that we could be with him. He made it perfect. He made us in his image, and all that simply because he loves you. And unfortunately for us, we messed it up. We chose to do something wrong. We chose to rebel against him. And this thing called sin entered the world. And for us to be with God now, we have to be holy. We have to be sin-free. And none of us, not one of us, could ever do that, because God's word says that all of us have sinned and will fall short of the glory of God. So if it's up to us, none of us is holy enough to get to God. None of us is sin-free enough to get to God. And that's why when Jesus Christ looked down and he said, you know what, these people that I made, these people that have my image, the people that I love are separated from me for all eternity because of their sin. And Jesus said, that's unacceptable, because his love for us is so great that he loves you more than he loves his own life. And he said, I'm going to come to earth. I'm going to let their sins, all of it, your sin and my sin, be placed on him so that he could die your death. And he could die my death. And when he came out of the tomb on Easter Sunday, it gives us an opportunity when we believe in him that we get to live his life. And so the gospel message is simply this: I'm a sinner that Jesus loves so very much, so that he died my death so that I can live his life. Every person that's about to step into this tank, that reality is true for them. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've died to their old life and are living for him. We have five baptisms. I can't begin to tell you how excited that is, how excited that makes me. It might take a little bit of time. I'm okay with that. Golden Corral is open all day. Amen? There's no need to rush. Y'all can chill. We'll get there. But we need to celebrate the fact that we are declaring new life to the world. Amen? All right. Come on in. The water's here. Hi, Jerry. How you doing? That's okay. Give yourself a second. We'll get there. Well, Jerry, as you're standing before us, I'm going to ask you some questions. They're yes questions, so yeah, there you go. In some circles, we would call that a movement of the Holy Spirit. We're not Pentecostal. It's just a cold tank. Okay. Do you have any Alka-Seltzer tablets? Ask me later. Jerry, I've got some great questions to ask you. First of all, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was sent to redeem the world? Do you love him and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin? And do you repent and joyfully embrace him as your Lord? Yes. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the beliefs of this church faithfully reflect that revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God, and do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which this baptism signifies? And last but not least, do you promise to do all you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen your love and commitment to Christ by sharing faithfully in the life of the church, honoring and submitting to its authority, and do you join with the people of God in doing the Lord's work everywhere? And it is my privilege to baptize you. All right. And Jerry's wife, Chris, is up next. Chris, how are you doing? All right, I have the same questions to ask you. And I will confess that by the time we get to the end, I might be speaking really fast through these questions. But I don't want to shortchange this. First of all, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was sent to redeem the world, and do you love and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin, and do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as your Lord? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the beliefs of this church faithfully reflect that revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God, and do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which this baptism signifies? And do you promise to do all you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen your love and commitment to Christ by sharing faithfully in the life of the church, honoring and submitting to its authority, and do you join with the people of God in doing the work of the Lord everywhere? Don't worry, after two or three, you don't feel it anymore. It's cool. I will read very quickly, my dear. Victoria, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent to redeem the world? Do you love and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin? And do you repent and embrace him with joy as the Lord of your life? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the beliefs of this church faithfully reflect that revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God, and do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which this baptism signifies? And I'll condense the last one to say, will you do all that you can to share the love of Jesus with everyone everywhere? Luana, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent to redeem the world? Do you love and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin? And do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as the Lord of your life? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the beliefs of this church faithfully reflect this revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God, and do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which this baptism signifies? And do you promise to do all you can with the help of the Holy Spirit to strengthen your love and commitment to Christ and to share faithfully in the life of the church? Amen. Coming into the tank now is Luana's daughter, Madison, and her husband, Bob. And when a young person is baptized, part of what we offer, if the parents are believers in Jesus Christ, is we ask that if they would like, they can be involved in the baptism, simply because we believe that as parents, as dads, as moms, part of our job is to pass on our faith to our kids. And so we just want to recognize that. So I'm here representing Jesus and his church, and of course the family that has raised this young lady up in the way that she should go. Amen? So, Madison, how are you doing? You're good? Okay. Well, I have the same questions for you, my dear. Madison, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent to redeem the world? Do you love and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin? And do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as the Lord of your life? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the beliefs of this church faithfully reflect that revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God, and do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which this baptism signifies? And do you promise to do all you can with the help of the Holy Spirit to tell as many people about Jesus as you possibly can? Amen. God is good, amen? All right, well, my friends, our freezing cold baptizees will be available afterwards. I encourage you to give them a hug, get a little water on you. It's all good. But really congratulate them just for taking this step of proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm actually going to ask, Jeremy, could you close us out with a prayer and a blessing? Because last time I tried to do it, I didn't quite make it in time. So could you wrap us up when all is said and done? All right, my friends, could you stand with us while we just close our time in worship together?
Amen. Praise the King. Amen. He is risen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is love.
thank you, Lord, that you are alive. That's why we celebrate this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. He is our risen King, and he is victorious. Amen. We are so glad that he has been here with us. We're glad that you've been here to experience his presence and to just to receive something from the Lord. I hope and pray that as you go from this place, that you'll be blessed, that you'll carry the same enthusiasm, the same spirit with you throughout the rest of the week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you are good, and you have met with us today. And we're so grateful, Father, that you chose to call us here, and we're so thankful, Father, for all of the good things that you are doing in our lives, in our church, and in our community. And now, Lord, as we leave from this place, we ask, Father, that we'll take that enthusiasm with us. We ask, Lord, that we will just go in your spirit. We ask, Lord, that you will lead us, guide us, open our eyes to opportunities to share your greatness with those around us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in the blessings of the Lord.